It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study so far in the book of John, we've looked at chapters 1 and 2, and we're in chapter 3 now. Now, we left off in chapter 3 with verse 7. Jesus is speaking to a ruler of the Jews, a man by the name of Nicodemus. And in verse 7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee," Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, "ye," Nicodemus, "must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." We may not understand everything concerning God, because we can't see God. We can't see certain things, but we know certain things take place or are there because of the evidence that takes place, the evidence of something happening. Now, the book of Hebrews talks about faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When a person comes to the Lord, they need to come faith believing that He is God, that He is the Lord. And this is what Jesus, I believe, was trying to get across to Nicodemus in these verses. He's trying to tell him, now you may not understand fully, but you can understand what I'm saying to you. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You see, we can't see the Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible says no man has seen God and lived. Moses, as faithful as he was never allowed to see the face of God when he was on this earth. Well, as we look into this book that we're looking at now, into this chapter, chapter 3 of John, Jesus is trying to explain to Nicodemus that there are certain things that we as human beings can see, and there are certain things that we do not understand, but it's real. And once again, when we think of Hebrews, we think of faith as a substance. We can't see something that is in the future with the naked eye, but it's by faith through the Spirit of God that we once again look for a heavenly home. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, we can't see that place right now. We can't see heaven, but we take it by faith that what Jesus said is true. There is a place being prepared for those people who know Him as Savior. And Nicodemus was being told here, you can believe what I'm saying because I'm God. This is what Jesus is trying to get across to him. Well, Nicodemus was a very important person. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he was also supposed to be very well versed in the Scriptures. Verse 9 goes on to say, "Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" Nicodemus, don't you know these things? You know you're supposed to know these things, Nicodemus. You're a ruler of the Jews. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." Well, Jesus is saying, we speak that we do know, and we testify. Who is this? I believe he's speaking of himself, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. There's three witnesses: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 says, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Nicodemus was a very important man, as I've already said. He was supposedly a very smart man. But Jesus was telling him, if you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you on this earth, how can you understand the spiritual things that you're supposed to know? You're supposed to know these things, Nicodemus. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven," verse 13 says, "but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Well, the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven. Remember, he was born of a virgin. The Bible says that his name would be Jesus because he would save his people. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus Christ, as we've already discovered by reading the book of John, the Bible says he's the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and not anything that was made without him. Jesus is God, and he's trying to get Nicodemus to understand this, to quit thinking of the earthly and start thinking of the heavenly, the spiritual things that he's trying to get across to Nicodemus. Verse 14 says, now let's go back to verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ is saying that as Moses lifted up the serpent, if you remember, you go back and read the account of how these people, they were sinful, the Hebrews, the Jews, they were sinful. And because they were sinful and they had done some terrible things, and there was a time when they were going to die, and they were dying, but Moses had a serpent placed upon a pole, and God said, have the people look at it, and as many as look at that serpent, they'll live. And just as Jesus Christ was lifted up on that cross, when men look to him and trust him as Savior, they live. And that's what the Lord's trying to get across to Nicodemus here. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever, that word whosoever, does not exclude anyone. It includes all who would trust Jesus Christ. Whosoever means every person in this world who will trust him, that whosoever. God is no respecter of persons. He will save the what we would consider the lowest person, the dregs of life, the lowest person in this world who we as human beings may look down on, but God doesn't look down on them. He wants them to be saved. And then, not only does he look at those people and be willing to save the lowest person in this world, he can save even the person who is the most important in this world that we consider important. He can save that person as well. He is no respecter of persons, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I count myself very fortunate to have met Jesus Christ and to have received him as my Lord and Savior. I wasn't worthy. I am not worthy to go to heaven on my own. But thank God it's through Jesus Christ that I am made worthy. And one day I will see my Savior personally. I will see God the Father, and I will thank them personally. And hopefully I'll hear them say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the Son of Man. This is the Son of God. He's saying, if you believe, you can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's the word whosoever again, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means you, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whosoever means you, you can trust him. You can be born again by asking him to come into your heart. Be willing to admit that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, but you want to go to heaven. And you're willing to go God's way now, and you're willing to accept Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word everlasting means eternal, never-ending life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when you see that word world, that means mankind. God loved man so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world so that they could be saved. and they could go to heaven, and that one day they could see him personally. Verse 18 goes on to say, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not condemned to a devil's hell. But the person who does not believe is condemned already, right now. You don't have to wait to go to hell to be condemned. You're condemned already because you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's given you everything you need in order to believe. He's given you the Word of God, and you're listening to the Word right now. And God says that He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to believe that He sent His only begotten Son to this world, that whosoever would believe in Him would be saved, to have everlasting life. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light." Remember, we read that Jesus Christ is the light in chapter 1. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." They loved the things of this world, the darkness of this world, rather than loving the light, Jesus Christ. Why? Because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." As human beings, we don't like to be corrected. We want to think that we're right about everything. But God says, if you've never trusted my Son as your Savior, you're wrong. And you need to trust Him today. Verse 21 says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." When we get saved, we ask God for victory over this old fleshly body. We ask God to help us, to lead us and guide us, so that we would do things that are right. Now, we're not going to always do things right, but when we talk to God and we ask Him, He helps us. As long as we're in this old body, this is the reason this body has to die. As long as we're in this old body, things will take place that shouldn't take place. We do things wrong. And sometimes we don't do what's right. But God says this, "To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of the children of God." And He says you'll have everlasting life once you come to Him. And once we've done that, He will in no wise cast us out. We will do things wrong. But God loved us so much that He says, "You are my child and you have eternal life." That doesn't give us the right to do wrong. It simply means that when we do wrong, that verse says, as we've read it, "After these things came Jesus." Now, after you get saved, Jesus comes into your life. "But he that doeth the truth," verse 21 says, "cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest." The Word of God touches our heart as we study it. And God lets us know when we're wrong. And when we're wrong, we need to say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me." The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the saved person. If you've gone away from Him, you need to come back and confess your sin to God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.